Welcome to the broadcast this morning. This is Pastor Rick Smell from New Life Church here in Rochester. Please stay tuned for this. My prayer is that someone out there is listening that has some questions about whether they're going to go to heaven or not. I want to start the broadcast this morning by asking you that very thing. Are you 100% sure that when you close your eyes in death that you're going to go to heaven? That's a very important question and one that you ought to ponder and think about. And I'm going to add a caveat here that you might not have thought about. But you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible has some things to say about that that I want to share with you this morning. Before I do, I want to invite you to come to our church. We're a full gospel church. We believe in the whole Bible. We preach it from beginning to end. We don't skip anything. We believe that the Word of God is our guide. The Word of God is wisdom. And we do that. We have our services at 9:30 on Sunday morning. We have a Bible study on Wednesday at 6:30. And we want to be relevant. We believe the Word of God is relevant for today. It's our doorway to the wonderful life that God has provided for us here on earth. We believe that that is possible. We have people that are doing that every day, and we welcome you to come and see the people here. They're a great group of people. We're just normal people living just the way you are. We go to work, we come home, we have a relationship, we have family. But one of the things that makes our life complete, the only thing that makes our life complete, is we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to do that as well. And if you're going to church and you just don't have that relationship, Jesus means something only on holidays and weekends. I want you to know that you can have a personal relationship with God. And if you're tuning in this morning, you say, well, couldn't find any other radio stations and I'm listening to you. I want to explain some things to you. The Bible says that we can have eternal life, and it's for us. First, I want to talk to the Christians out there. I want you to think about this passage of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is talking, and he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. One of the things that sets us apart as Christians, true Christians, we have care and concern for the world around us. I want to speak to the Christians first that may be listening to me this morning, and you said, well, you know, preacher, I accepted Christ a long time ago. I'm good. I'm all right. Well, we need to share that love with those that are around us, those that are sick and in prison and dying. They need to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I encourage those who are preaching the gospel that we go back to the basics. There are so many that don't know, so many that are fooled into believing that their lives are going to God is going to let them in with some good excuse, or I was always a good person. It's one of the things I hear all the time. I've been a good person. I haven't hurt anybody. I pay my taxes. No, the thing that's going to get us into heaven is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and his awesome sacrifice for us. And I want to share that with you today. You may have been going to church since you were a child and nobody has ever spoke to you as I'm going to speak to you. I urge you just to stick with me. It's only for half an hour, I promise. I'll make it very interesting for you. If you'll listen, I believe the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And matter of fact, I've been praying that those who need to hear this message are with me this morning. You may be out there and say, you know, I came from a very religious background. I've been going to church all my life, and I've never heard about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or if I did, the people that said they had a relationship with him are no different than me. They just go to a building once a week. I want to let you know that there are people that walk among you all the time, that are in this town, walking the streets, that have a daily relationship with a real being. That being is Jesus Christ. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And he promises that if we'll accept him, he'll come and live in our hearts. Of all the places that he could live, of all the places that he could stay, he decided to come live in our hearts. And he makes a way for us because of his perfect sacrifice. I want to share just a few scriptures with you this morning. First of all, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that's in Romans 3:23. And basically, what does that mean? That means that all of us were born into sin. Our fathers, the first parents, our parents we call them, are the first beings were Adam and Eve. And if you look in Genesis, you'll find that Adam and Eve were allowed to eat of anything in the garden, but they were not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It may seem like an old archaic historical fallacy, but it's the truth. They were not allowed to eat that because they weren't supposed to know the truth just for the fact of knowing something. They were supposed to take it through God. God created us to obey him and to worship him and to honor him and to be have a relationship with him. And they decided to circumvent that. And Eve bit the apple and the rest is history. Sin has been passed down from generation to generation. You don't have to tell a baby, yes, good job. The first thing a baby has to be told is, don't touch this, don't do that. There's a nature that's within us to do our own thing, to be rebellious, what we call sin. Isaiah 46 says, or 64, I'm sorry, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. In other words, you could say to me, you know what, I've been a good person, I pay my taxes, I go to church, I do these things, but I don't have a relationship with God, and he understands. Religion is not for me. Well, guess what, I've been a minister for 33 years, and religion is not for me either. I have a relationship with a real being, a real person, and he's made my life happy, joyous. I was 26 years old when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. My wife, just 10 days later, did the same thing. It absolutely changed our lives. And we fill the void in our hearts with many things. Some people fill it with drugs. Some people fill it with alcohol. Some people fill it with sexual relationships. Some people fill that void with work, careers, family. But that void, that hole that we have in our heart, that each one of us, if we stop and think, man, I've got it all. You may be out there today and say, you know, I've got a good job. I've got to drive a nice car. I'm in a good home. I've got all my bills paid. But there's something missing. Let me tell you, friend, that that is your righteousness trying to match up. Because one of the things we will never get away from, we will never get away from the fact that we're going to die someday. And I'm going to ask you this question again. Do you know 100% sure that when you die, you're going to be going to heaven? And if you'll listen to the broadcast this morning, if you'll just hang in there with me, I guarantee you, if you'll do what the Word of God tells us to do, you can make that a sure thing. You'll have assurance of salvation. Now, the Bible gives us a way. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, what's that mean? What it means is that we have to work to die. The wages of sin is death. Nobody has to tell us to sin. When I was a sinner before I accepted Christ, I was a good sinner. I did the things I wanted to do. If you got in my way, I pushed you out of my way. I talked behind your back. I would do terrible things. Why? Because there was a sin nature in me. On weekends, I got high and got drunk and all of that other stuff. I wanted to live life for myself. I was married with a child, but I lived like I wanted to. On the weekends I got drunk. I worked during the week, but you know, I just had a selfish mindset, and I was working really hard to die. But I came to a place where I realized that Jesus died for that sin. Jesus died before I even knew him. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins shall die. But there's somebody that loves you today, and that somebody is God. He made provision for you thousands of years before you were born. On that day, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for you, my friend. He died for everyone that will accept him. It's already done. The work is already done. The righteousness that God accepts is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came born as a man to live a sinless life. He lived 33 years on this earth and he did not sin. He was not rebellious. He didn't do anything wrong. He lived a perfect life. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. Many people say, Rick, you know, that's not fair. God birthed us this way. Now he demands righteousness and he demands perfection. That's because God is perfect. There's no sin in him. God always was and always will be. Nobody created him. There's nobody higher than him. And so he has some standards. You know, I always use the example when my mother was living, if you went to her house and you left your shoes on in the house, she told you about it because there were rules and regulations. One of them was that if you had holes in your socks, too bad, you had to take off the shoes because that house had to remain clean. Her floor was always immaculate. God has some demands. One of the demands that God has is he will not accept anybody without perfection. We say, well, I'm far from perfect, and even if I was a Christian, I probably wouldn't be perfect. It's not about your perfection. It's about the perfection of Jesus Christ that will come live in you. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. That means that God has a plan and he knows you were going to mess up. He knows you were going to screw up. He knows your life before you even live it. God knows exactly what you're going to do before you do it. And his viewpoint of our life is like us watching a rerun. We know exactly what's going to happen. God knows what's going to happen. He's already been there. God is eternal, so he knows what's going to happen before it happens. And yet, he still died for us. 2 Corinthians in the Bible, chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, that merely means that when we come and we ask God to come live in our life, we do that and we appeal to Jesus Christ. And Jesus stands for us and says, you know, Rick, he was a sinner. He is a sinner. He wants me to come live in his life. I'm going to pay the debt for all his sin. That's a wonderful thing. Romans 3:21, verse 21 through 23, listen to what it says. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What that means is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that righteousness can only be found in Jesus Christ. That is a great promise for you and I, and one that we ought to take pause and think about. All of our efforts, all of our time, all of our energy could be going into Lord, look at us, look at our lives, look at our righteousness. We've done some good things, and it's all going to fall apart. God is not going to accept that. Jesus Christ already met all the requirements. The Bible calls him a advocate, and that means that every time we sin as a Christian, and let me tell you, as a Christian, doesn't make you sin-proof, but it does mean that there is sin that's taken care of in Christ Jesus. And he stands and says, you know, the sin that happened in that person, I take full responsibility for it. He's asked me forgiveness. I'm going to forgive him. And because of what has already been done, the great court in heaven has already declared a Christian not guilty. But it means that we've got to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. We're not just because we may go to church or, yes, you say, yeah, you know, I believe in that. I believe that's okay. Yeah, it sounds good to me. But you've got to make that commitment to have a relationship for eternity with your Creator. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 through 9, I want to read that to you. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Did you hear that? That means that all the righteousness that we could think of, all the good works that we could think of, we could give all of our money away, we could live the rest of our lives in feeding the poor, but if we've not accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, we're going to fall short. That righteousness is through faith in Christ Jesus. It's all by grace. You say, well, I don't deserve that. Exactly. You're exactly right. Stop and think about it. You do not deserve to be in heaven. Neither do I. The only one that deserves it, the only one that lived a sinless life, says, you know what? If you accept me, the greatest miracle in the world is going to take place. All of your sin is going to be taken from you. The best thing that God could have done for us, for you and I, is to take our sin and remember it no more. The Bible says that he separates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, if I stood here and went east and you went west, we'd never see each other again. He sets our sin apart from us so that he never mentions it again. It's gone. It's wiped clean. When you say, Jesus, come live in my heart. I believe that you died for me. Come and live in my heart. He takes all the sin and gets rid of it. It's gone. So that you start out new. Now, as a family member, as a member of the family of God, you become a son or a daughter of God, and your elder brother is Jesus Christ. When you sin, you have an advocate. You have somebody that's going to forgive you of that sin. It doesn't pile up. If you confess your sin, the Bible says, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and forgive your sins. And so that's a good thing today. And that is available for everyone that's listening this morning. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you can do that today. There's no classes you have to take. There's not some tests that you have to pass. There's not some level that you have to reach. All you need to do is cry out for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The Bible says, whosoever will to the come will come to the, can come to the Lord. Whosoever will can come to the Lord. You're a whosoever, right? So that means you. I urge you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. You're tuned into this broadcast for a reason. You're listening for a broadcast. If I only reach one person, then I've done what I set out to do this morning. But I hope many are listening this morning. There is a way that was made for you before you were even thought of. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung on that cross, he did it for you and for me. The Bible says elsewhere in Romans 8, there therefore is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law out there, and that law says that you have to obey all the commandments. That's impossible to do. Jesus made it very clear when he said that, you know, if you say you hate your brother, you've already killed him. If you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery. There is a high standard. God doesn't change that standard for us. Listen, grace is not about moving the standard down to where anybody can make it. Grace is about causing us to live that standard through Jesus Christ. He did it. He was completely without sin, died on that cross, and he said, if you'll accept me and I come live in your life, you'll also be graded on that same curve. There's only one person that ever met the perfection that is required of God the Father. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 is wonderful. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me read that again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me tell you, friend, when you make that confession with your mouth and you believe in your heart, it's not just words that come out of your mouth. Everything in your life is going to change. I remember when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, everything changed my life. The creation looked beautiful. I loved people. I loved my wife more than I ever thought possible. I loved my children. I wanted to do the right thing. There was something that changed from the inside out. The world says that there's a certain way we have to act. We have trained ourselves to act a certain way in church, that we don't act at home, and we act different at home than we do at work. We act different when we're with the guys. If there's girls present, we act different. We talk different. All of that we can put aside. All of that, that's so much energy, and that's working to die. But let me tell you something. When Jesus really comes into your heart, when you ask Jesus to come in and live in your life, he comes and he shows you a whole new way of life. My wife and I have been married 37 years. We're happier today than we've ever been. It's not magic. It's not something that only for a few. It's for everyone that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whenever you get saved, it's much more than having a ticket in your pocket that you'll get into heaven when you die. He changes your life here on earth. It's kind of like heaven coming to earth. That's exactly the way it is, because you still have to pay your bills. You still have to go to work. You still have to watch people that you love die. There's still bad things happen to good people, but you have somebody that causes you and makes you go through that with a whole different attitude, and most importantly, with righteousness and with grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It means that, you know what, you didn't do anything to deserve this. I died for you because I love you. The old scripture that you probably heard and shared with other people, it's everywhere. It used to be on football games. When you watched a football game, you saw somebody with John 3:16. John 3:16 merely says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And so Jesus came into this world for one purpose and one purpose only. That's to redeem us, to save us, to pay the price for us, to pay the penalty for us. And it's not about church. It's not about liturgy. It's not about how many times we go to church. It's not about whether or not we support our local church. It's not about whether we do those things. Those things come naturally. Yes, you should go to church. Yes, you should love people. Yes, you should learn the Bible. Yes, you should do those things. But the most important thing you can do is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. It's not about changing your activity, the way you talk, the way you look from the outside in. That never works. You're going to run into problems if you try to act a certain way, but your heart is not changed. You might want to do that to please somebody. Men have done that because their wives have asked them to, because their girlfriend has asked them to, because mom and dad wants you to. You go forward. I went forward and I prayed and nothing's changed, but I did it for them. And now on Sunday for 2 hours, I kind of go to church and put up with it. All of that is religion, and it's works, and it's no good. It doesn't work. It doesn't feel good. It's not right. And I don't want you to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm asking you to do is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. I encourage you to listen to this message very carefully. Listen to the next few minutes very carefully, because your life depends on it. I wish that I could tell you something different. I wish I could tell you there was a choice that you could make, and if you don't get to heaven this way, you can get to heaven the other way. There's a lot of things out there. It says many ways to get to heaven. There are many gods. Some people believe it's Allah. Some people believe it's Jehovah. Listen, let me tell you, there's only one way. Jesus said this in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that does not mean that you can get saved just by going to church. It does not mean that you can get saved just by being a good person. It does not mean that you can get saved just by having your own religious beliefs. You say, Rick, you believe this way, I believe that way. There can only be one truth. There can't be many truths. If there is, it'd be a very confusing world. If I stopped and asked you for directions, I said, how do you get to Logan? And you say, well, you can get to Logan any way you want. Just start driving, you'll get there. That would be ridiculous. I mean, you have to take 25 south to get to Logansport, Indiana. There's a way that is the right way to get there from Rochester. And when we say, hey, there's many ways to get to heaven, you just live a good life. If you believe in Allah, if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in Moroni, the angel, like the Mormons do, that's another way to get to heaven. That's a lie. Now, what you have to deal with is what I just read. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he was either a liar, he was completely crazy, or he was who he said he was. There's nobody that can deny, even history says, that Jesus was a teacher, that he was a good man, that he went about doing miracles and good things. He was not known to be a liar, and he was not known to be crazy. And he said, you can't get to heaven except through me. Here's the good news. The good news is, if you say that prayer and you say it with all your honesty and integrity, let me tell you, that prayer is going to change the way you live. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your direction. And I would like to pray that prayer with you now. I'm going to say a prayer with you. And if you would like to receive the gift that God has for you today, say this after me with your heart and lips out loud. Dear Lord, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free, Jesus. Thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you're coming back again for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Let me tell you, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that all of your sins are forgiven. Always remember to run to God and not from God, because he loves you and has a great plan for your life. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me in sincerity, Jesus Christ is now your Savior and Lord, and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the beginning of a great relationship. If you prayed that prayer and are sincere about that prayer, I welcome you to call me. Here's my private number. You can call me anytime. That's 574-835-0865. My name is Rick. I'll be glad to speak with you about that. Please come to church if you get a chance. If New Life is not for you, find a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in closing, I want to say these four things to you. Number one, begin to read the Bible. Get yourself a Bible. They're available everywhere. If you have a Bible and you've not read it in a while, open it up. A good place to start is the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark. Mark is a short book, 16 chapters, kind of gives an overview of the life of Christ, and it's a good book to start with. Secondly, begin to talk to God. Don't wait. Don't say, well, somebody needs to train me to pray. Talk to God like you talk to everybody else. God will listen. And then wait until you can hear from God. And you can hear from God when you pray. Just wait. He'll speak to your heart. I guarantee it. The third thing I want you to do is get some friends that are Christians as well. You don't need to be around people that are going to influence you to do things you shouldn't do. And the fourth thing that I mentioned before, find yourself a good church. You're welcome to come here. We're located on US 31 and 50 North. I would be glad to have you. We love people here, and there's a great life that is going to open to you. If you've prayed that prayer today, please call someone, tell someone, and tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't live in this world and not know that we're close to the end. Things are wrapping up, and it's so important that you give Christ your total life. God bless you. Thanks for listening to me this morning, and may the Lord bless your life.